A United States judge says that it's time to start planning an end to federal oversight of California's inmate medical care. Federal receiver J. Clark Kelso says California is nearly ready to take back control of its prison health care, but those who brought the suit originally don't necessarily agree. Joining me to discuss this are two of the main players in this saga, which has lasted more than 6 years and may last a bit longer. First up is J. Clark Kelso, professor of law at McGeorge School of Law in Sacramento. He was appointed the federal receiver to manage the process by bringing the state's prison medical facilities up to an acceptable level. Welcome.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Would you please define, first of all, what is receivership and what does that mean, being federal receiver for these last few years?
What the receivership means is the judge appointed me to actually run the prison medical system, to make all of the strategic decisions, what type of hiring to do, what programs to initiate, what money to spend. And really the receivership took those decisions out of the hands of people who otherwise would have been appointed by the governor.
Now, you're a law professor, and I think the dean?
Not the dean, just a law professor.
Law professor, okay. why you? Why did they ask you to do it?
Well, I've spent a lot of time over the last 20 years working with all three branches of government in California at the state level to improve the performance of various state government entities. I've worked with the courts. I spent about 6 years as the state's chief information officer. I ran the Department of Insurance about a decade ago when Chuck Quackenbush retired. So I think the judge was looking for somebody who really understood how Sacramento works and could work in the context of state government.
And it's been 6 years now since you've been doing this?
I've been doing it for 4 years. It's been 6 years. There was a first receiver, Bob Sillen, who served for 2 years, and then the judge appointed me.
And how well did your knowledge of Sacramento work in this process?
Well, I think it's, of course, worked pretty well. we put together a plan in my first 60 days of service now in 2008, a 4 to 5 year plan that said, here are the 40 or 50 things we have to do to bring the quality of care up. And we're in the fourth year of the plan, and we're about 80% complete. So we're pretty well on schedule. I'm looking forward to this sort of last phase here, mm-hmm. where we can figure out with the state and with the plaintiff's attorneys, how do we bring the receivership part of this to a close?
Okay, and we want to talk about some of those details and what needs still to be done, because it's still quite a bit, but you're saying 80%. One of those attorneys is Don Spector, who is the director of the nonprofit Prison Law Office. They filed the initial lawsuit that led to the receivership, and he is on the phone. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much.
What was your take on the – well, let's step even before that. What brought you to file this lawsuit in the first place?
Well, when we filed the lawsuit, there weren't enough doctors in the prisons to even approach seeing the amount of sick and ill prisoners that were in California's prisons. There weren't any systems. There weren't enough hospital beds. Prisoners couldn't get out to see specialists when they needed to. The medical record system, which just until the last few months was paper-based, and you'd have stacks of unfiled medical records waiting in an office somewhere. So prisoners were just literally dying once every 10 days of neglect or malpractice.
Wow. Okay. Clark Kelso is sitting here nodding his head vigorously to all of this. Clark Kelso, let me just go back to you for a second then. You're executing something. You guys are not, we don't want to set this up as though you guys are adversaries, right? You're basically executing what Don Spector's office and Prison Law Center asked for.
Well, the Prison Law Office certainly got this started, and they put in place way back in 2002 an initial agreement with the state about here are the standards that you're supposed to be able to meet, And these were just standards that the state agreed to. It was nothing really extraordinary. And yes, what I'm trying to do is to meet those standards that Don Spector and the state agreed to almost a decade ago.
Okay.
So we are not adversaries at all. We're both moving and trying to move, I think, in the same direction.
Okay. That said, Don Spector, it sounds as though you're not convinced that we're as close, perhaps, to the end of this as some are.
Well, I think that may be easier to understand if we talk about the 80% figure that Clark mentioned. You know, first of all, let me say that, you know, both Sillin and Clark have made significant improvements in the healthcare system, which without them, we would be way beyond, behind where we are now. But the 80% figure may be a number which of all the it's a 80% figure of all the tasks he has to do. But when you look at the percentages of the time that prisoners are getting the care they're supposed to according to the policy in critical areas such as when they get to see a doctor, when they get to see their when they get their medications. Then you know the situation isn't very rosy, and that is often the toughest and most difficult thing to change because it means changing systems in the individual institutions. And in that respect, a number of the indicators that are measured several times a year by the Inspector General's office, which is an office of the state government, shows, you know, 50-60% compliance rate in critical areas. So there's still a lot of work to be done, and I think both Clark and I recognize, although there's been improvements, there needs to be still some more effort before it becomes constitutionally.
Well then let's talk Don Spector specifically about those improvements that you wanted to see. I my understanding is that the state agreed to about $2 billion in improvements as a total. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know. You know, a lot of that. I'm not sure what that refers to. The Clark has a budget, and I'm not sure what it is. He can probably tell you.
Okay. Well, before we get to him to do that, though, what were you looking for to be improved?
Well, the prisoners have to be able to see the doctor when it's in a timely manner, and that just doesn't happen a lot of the time. For example, if you have hypertension or diabetes or any other kind of serious chronic illness that needs constant attention, you have to be able to see the doctor in a timely manner so they can adjust your medications, for example. And then you have to be able to get the medications in a timely manner in order to take them. And that doesn't always happen, partially because in some prisons there aren't enough doctors. In some prisons there aren't enough treatment rooms. I was just reading a report which said in some prisons they were treating prisoners in the hallway without any privacy. So that gives you some idea of we're not talking Kaiser here. You know, this is not Kaiser. This
right.
is still a system which is not up to par.
I'm speaking with Don Spector and J. Clark Kelso about the receivership and bringing the state's prison medical facilities and system up to adequate levels. Clark Kelso, and actually either one of you, but Clark, we'll start with you. I'm sure that both of you have heard this. You know, there are law-abiding citizens who don't have medical care. Why are we so focused on people in prison getting, you know, having privacy when they're having a medical exam and things like that? I guess I should start with Don Spector since you brought the suit in the first place. You must hear that a lot. What's your response?
I do, and I have a ready response.
I figured.
Which is that I think all people should be able to have access to health care, and it's a sad state of affairs when they don't. But in our society, the Constitution requires that when the state incarcerates somebody and takes away their liberty and takes away their ability to get health care on their own, which is an essential need for somebody to continue to exist, the society has to provide the care that the prisoner would otherwise seek on his own. And that's under the Eighth Amendment Cruel and Unusual Punishment Clause. And the reason behind that is, and this is graphically illustrated by our case, is because if you're sentenced to a term of a few years in prison, that's a sentence for a loss of liberty. It's not a death sentence. And unfortunately, that's what it has turned into for too many prisoners.
Clark Kelso, is this hard to do given the state's current financial issues? I mean, that sort of feeds into the last question, which is we're having a lot of trouble with money in the state, and all of a sudden we have the federal government telling us that we're not doing this well enough, and we have to spend a bunch of money. About how much money is going to be spent, and how does that affect the state budget?
Well, it has been a challenge because of the state's budget difficulties. One of my responsibilities is to try to get this done with as little intrusion as possible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've been working hard on is trying to reduce the expenditures while at the same time bring up quality. At times, those two goals actually support each other. Mm-hmm. At other times, it does make it a challenge to our creativity to manage this. So that said, I think there are some decisions that can be made with monies that have already been appropriated that can move things along. There are some construction issues. I think that's probably the $2 billion figure you were referring to.
Right, with a place in Stockton,
sure.
The hospital medical center.
And really part of what, the Stockton facility is getting built by the state. Part of the issue is we know, as Don indicated, we know we have to improve some facilities at pretty much every prison. But we can't have guys being given treatment in hallways. And that's going to cost some money. That money has already been appropriated by the legislature quite a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
So the real decision here is not do we need more money. This is old money that's been appropriated. The real question here is simply how much more construction do we need to finish the job.
Okay.
And right now we're having conversations with the state and Don and his colleagues to see if we can come to an agreement about how much remains to be done.
All right. And very quickly, because we're short on time, I'd love to hear from each of you on about how long you think that's going to be.
I have no prediction on that one. It just depends on if the parties can get themselves together.
Okay, Don?
Yeah, it's hard to say now. We don't even have the information we need to start the negotiation process. So a few months at the least.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. Don Spector is the director of the Nonprofit Prison Law Office, and J. Clark Kelso is the federal receiver and a professor at McGeorge Law School. Thanks so much, both of you.
Thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Having us.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, Good Humus Farm in Trouble. We'll be right back.